Okay, and we'll look at that consent agreement with the tab one.
Motion we approve this permit?
Second.
We've got a motion to approve the consent agreement and a second. Any comments? If not all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it, motion passes.
The next item is our annual audit. Y'all remember Gerald Nelson's been doing our audit. He retired last year. We contracted for the firm of Merritt, McLean, and Hamby out of Abilene to do our annual audit this year. And Michael Hamby is here today. He's gonna present the audit to us. So it's all yours. You can take as little or as much time as you want. These guys, I don't know, you can tell them what y'all wanna hear. But I don't think that they're interested in, you know, being read the whole thing, but.
No, I'm not interested in reading it.
All right, you sure with the word?
Okay, I'll give you some highlights in here, and then if you have questions, I'm happy to try and answer. My name is Michael Hamby, and our firm do audits of governmental entities and nonprofit organizations. And we're very happy to get to do this work for you. Appreciate all the help, especially that Kim gave us, but we got all the information we needed, got the information from the accounting people, we got feedback on proofreading of the report and things like that. So we really do appreciate all the help that we got getting this completed. The audit itself went great. We didn't have any problems or issues. There should be a stapled letter inside the bound report that I'm not going to go through. And the reason is because that's really where we identify all the problems that we had, and we didn't have any. So I'm just not going to spend time there. But the in the very back of that is stapled the audit adjustments that need to be posted. So there wasn't anything there. There wasn't anything there that is a concern or anything that we would say is unusual or anything like that. In the actual audit, the bound report, what I'm going to do is there are two letters in here with our letterhead. I'm going to note a couple things there, a couple of things in the actual numbers on the financial statements, and then I'll sit back down. And if y'all have questions, I'll try to answer them. But on page 3, independent auditor's report, the final paragraph of that page says, "In our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the governmental activities in each major fund of Sullivan County Water District as of September 30th, 2019, and with respect to changes in financial position for the year that ended in conformity with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States." So that represents a clean or unqualified audit opinion, which is what you hope your auditors put on the front of your report, and we did, so that's good news. If you'll turn to page 10, speaking of net position, this is broken down where the top half of the page is assets broken down between current and non-current, deferred outflows of resources, and then current liabilities and non-current, deferred inflows of resources, and then net position. So essentially the top half is assets or positives to your net position, the middle part is negatives, and then the net is just the difference between the two. So the main thing that we look at as auditors when we look at this, the first thing we look at is liquidity. What we like to see is that you have enough cash or investments, things that turn into cash like receivables, to cover your liabilities, your current liabilities. So that would be any liability that's already been incurred that you owe and that's due within the year. So long-term portion of your debt would not be included in that, but the current year would. So what we like to see is at least a 2-to-1 ratio. 3-to-1 is great. Yours is over 7-to-1, 8-to-1, so very strong. Good cash and investment balance for the amount of debt that you have. Also, the fourth line from the bottom is your net investment in capital assets. It's a positive $48.5 million. Essentially, that number is, we just want to make sure that's a positive number, and yours is clearly well positive. But what that represents is your fixed assets, which is your mainly your distribution system, but also equipment, property, this building, things like that, net of any debt that you have. And so your ratio is roughly 60 million to 11, and so no problem there at all.
Mr. Hammer, where do we see the 7-to-1 ratio?
If you look at your total current assets, 9,573,000, and then you look down at your current liabilities, 213,000, and add in the 1,029,000 for your debt that's due within the year. It's classified as non-current, but because it's due within the year, when I'm looking at that ratio, so I'm looking at 1.2 million to 9.5 million. It's just short of 8 to 1. So on the next page, 11, this page is your statement of activities. The first column is the expenses, and then the second column is charges for services. So that's where your water, your building would be, also the park. But and then to the far right on the bottom section is where your taxes and investment earnings, et cetera, are. So it's kind of an awkward statement, but it's the required presentation. So expenses are on the left column, and then if you go on the right column, the third number from the bottom, change in net position, it's a positive $760,999. So that's your sort of your net income for the year. And that includes or has already netted out depreciation on your assets. So which is something that you're not required to budget for that. It's a non-cash item, and it's over $1.4 million. So there's quite a bit of it. Without that, that number is more like $2 million or $2 million plus. So that's a very positive result. And then the last thing on the financial statements that I'll look at is on page 12, the balance sheet. That first column is your general fund, which is where you do, most of the budget amendments, possibly looking at your fund balance year to year to see, just sort of targeting that, keeping that in mind when you're doing your budgeting. And your total fund balance, which is the second number from the bottom, is $9,055,920. That's an increase of about $102,000. So that's good. That's good also. That's the difference here between this fund balance and the $100,000 and the previous numbers is that when we're looking at governmental funds at the fund level, we exclude all long-term assets and long-term liabilities. So there's no debt in here, there's no fixed assets in here. It's current operations, a current balance sheet, current items. And so $102,000 in your sort of current activity is what the result there. Again, that's good. It doesn't have to be positive every year. You are perfectly okay with spending some of your reserves on things if you need to and want to and plan to do that and budget for it. But having the fund balance growing or staying constant is, from our perspective, is always good. So there are reasons for that to reverse, but didn't have those this year, so that's good.
You know, it was probably something that we didn't give you guys, but in our, I believe it's in our bylaws, we have, when we set up this capital maintenance and trust account, they did so, the board did so with the intent of only using the interest off of that account toward capital maintenance that came up during the year. But that was the strategy behind setting up that account.
Yeah. Well, it's a very sound strategy. It's a really good plan. And if you have enough funds in there where the interest covers it, then that's outstanding. I have two things left to point out. The first one is on page 31. That's your budget to actual comparisons. And your budget, your amended budget, that is, you had budgeted to use $360,000 of your reserves. And your revenues ended up coming in 156. The far right column is your variances. So if you look on that total revenues line, which is the first line that has a line above and below it, your final budget is the second column, the actual is the third, the difference, $156,963. So your revenues came in $157,000 above budget, and then in your expenditures, you were $305,000 under. So overall, then the third line from the bottom, instead of using reserves of $360,000, you added $102,000 to your fund balance. So $462,000 positive outcome for the year, which is really good.
Can I say something there, yeah, Michael? And you may remember back when we went from the last fiscal year to the next, I think we did it at our November meeting. What happened there was we had budgeted for this service center back here in last year's budget, and we didn't get it built. And in November, you guys did a budget revision to carry $250,000 from from last year's budget into this year's budget. So $250,000 of that is money that we shifted from one fiscal year to the other fiscal year for the purchase, for the construction of a service center back here that we're working on.
Okay. And the very last thing is on page 49. This letter is a letter that we include in here based on our review of your controls. And specifically, we look at controls over disbursements. We do look at controls over receipts as well, but there are, because there's not a huge amount of cash, and because there are money does come in here, but with auto drafting and all the different things that ways that people pay, and especially with checks made out to the organization versus individuals, there are less likely for those funds to be misappropriated. On the disbursement side, the reason for controls is to make sure that the money going out, which is substantial, is going to the right organization, right vendors, for the right amount, and that whatever the supporting documents are that support that payment, that it's something that the organization ought to be paying for, or would be reasonable to be paying for. So we look at payroll, and we do tests of payroll to make sure that people's pay is being calculated correctly based on what's in the files and the records, including overtime or for hourly employees by the hour. We look at fixed asset items, some of the larger equipment purchases or construction or those types of things. We look at debt payments, making sure that those were made in a time and manner and correctly to the right people. And then we do sampling of the rest, where we look at more or less random sample of the rest of the checks for the year to see that checks are being signed properly, approved. If y'all are involved with authorizing any of that, that if there are purchase orders or any kind of whatever the authorization ought to be, that it's in place and that it's functioning. And then we look at all of those disbursements to make sure that they're made out properly, they're paid in a timely manner, the amounts are correct, the last name on the vendor isn't the same as the general manager's last name or whatever. That those types of things that if there is a related party transaction, that it's a reasonable arm's length kind of transaction. So in all of that, this letter just says that in all of that testing that we did, we didn't find anything that was incorrect or inappropriate. We can't say that every single disbursement that the organization made was correct, because we didn't look at all of them. We looked at, as I said, the sample. But in that sample, we didn't find anything inappropriate. We didn't find anything made out incorrectly or paid late or anything like that. So all of that went well. And so it appears from our standpoint that the controls are working correctly and properly. So anyway, overall, a really good report. And I guess that's all I have to say, unless there's questions.
So yeah, with the deficiencies that you found nothing, you're not making any recommendation that we change anything?
No, I don't think you need to change anything. Your budgeting seems to be working well. There was a limited number of adjustments. You've got people looking at your books. We do, so they're in good shape, and the results were positive. So yeah, we didn't find any problems.
That's a great report. But what percentage of the transactions that you say you looked at? Yes, that's a national, but I know you don't know exactly what you say.
We probably looked at. Well, for payroll, we probably looked at one pay period, but we looked at everybody for one pay period. For debt and fixed assets, we probably looked at almost all of it, 100%. And then on the rest, we looked at another 25 to 40 individual items, just sort of on a random basis. And I don't know. I'm not sure the percentage yet. When we do a random sampling, we don't really pick just large items. We do it based on disbursements, and we just sort of pick throughout so that if there are some smaller ones, so there's not, if we were looking at everything over 10,000, for example, then if somebody wanted to misappropriate funds, they would do it at 9,000 or less. Because we wouldn't be looking
at it. I'm not suspecting anything like that. I'm just saying percentage-wise. Yeah. That sounds like a large percentage of the transaction.
In years when you have considerable amount of construction, for example, will be a very large percentage, because we'll look at all of that. This year you didn't have as much of that, but we still looked at quite a bit. We look at the major vendors, and so if there's ever a major vendor, we'll look at that particular vendor also. So.
And it was transactions from every month.
Yes. Throughout the year. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the bottom line is that ratio of 8-1. We're proud of that.
Yeah. No, we don't see that very often. So that's really good.
Sounds like you did a thorough job.
Any further questions?
I make a motion to approve the audit as printed.
Second.
Got a motion, second, printed. All as printed. Approve the audit as printed. Yeah. Any other comment? If none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. And we just say thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
And a good report makes it a lot easier here.
Absolutely. I need to get these signed.
Do that real quick for you.
I don't know about the notary one. That after giving? Okay. You can do it after the meeting if you want, but this is that one.
Okay.
And you can do two of those in there. Just that for my book that I'll take back.
Are you going to stay for the meeting?
I'm going to stay for the discussion on the water contract, if that's okay.
Yes.
We're ready to go on. We move tab three and.
I think so. Do you want to let's get that signed and then we'll. Tab three, while Ben's signing that, I'll say tab three is order calling for our general election. Every 2 years we have a general election. This year we've got four of our board members that are whose spots are up for reelection, and I'm pleased to say all four of our incumbents have filed, and that's a good thing. It makes it easy for us, and I want, you know, like to say I really appreciate everybody's willingness to step up and serve again. We enjoy the board we've got here immensely, and y'all make life easy for us, and it doesn't go without being appreciated. Thank y'all.
Well, this is a necessary thing every 2 years, so it's that we call for the election for the Somerville County Water District Board on May 2nd, 2020.
Second. Okay, we have a motion second to call for the election 2020 at May. Any further comments? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposition. Motion carries.
Next item on the agenda is City of Glen Rose Water Agreement. You guys may remember this started back on the end of this last summer.
Yes.
When the groundwater district started asking all of the well holders to purchase their historic usage rights. And so anyway, it prompted the City of Glen Rose to come to us, and it was going to cost them $30,000 or so to purchase their groundwater rights, and that they asked if they could start using, if we could loosen up our contract with them a little bit and let them start using some groundwater so they could offset that, so they could make a little more money basically and offset the cost of that in their budget. And after we started thinking about it, we came to the conclusion that there's really no reason for us to require them to use 100% of their water from us, and that we should just let them loosen the contract up, let them make their decisions on what's best for the taxpayers of the City of Glen Rose. And so we agreed to let them provide up to 50% groundwater, whatever they feel best is to their best advantage. And we're asking them to do those during the months of April through September, I think is what this says. Yeah, April through September. that helps us out the most. That's when we have our THM problems, usually during the summer months when the water's hot. And it's a win-win really for us. If they'll use a little bit of groundwater during the summer months, it makes it easier for us not to produce THMs down at the plant. And when we, after we in principle agreed to do that, then we started working on the contract. We were going to make the contract a 20-year, take it back to a 20-year agreement. And city came back, they asked us to do a few things in addition to that, and we declined a few of them. Then the city, in January, the city talked about it. They agreed in principle to the contract, but they wanted to send the entire contract to an attorney. They sent the entire contract to a contract attorney over in Stephenville, and he came back with lots of changes to the contract. And it's, in fairness to him, I mean, a lot of the changes that he proposed were probably necessary changes. When we initially did our contract with the city, there were a lot of things going on. We were, you know, we didn't even have a treatment plan. So a lot of the provisions in that contract dealt with us starting up from nothing. At that time, the power plant had just come out of deregulation. It was unsure where the value of the power plant was going to end up. There was talk that the power plant may shut down. And so, you know, when Skip drew that contract up, there were lots of provisions in there to allow for the unlikely event that that power plant went away and we lost 75% of our tax base. It was, all that language was in that contract, and it made that contract confusing to read, made it a little bit risky for the city. And those were things that concerned that attorney in Stephenville. I contacted we don't have an attorney right now since Skip retired. We haven't had the need for one. So we've been 5 or 6 years without an attorney. And anyway, when I read all the changes that they were proposing, I contacted an attorney in Austin that Skip had recommended, also some other people in the business had recommended, and it was going to cost us anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 to have our agreement read and changes proposed. And anyway, I went back to the city and I said, listen, let's do something different. If I'm going to have to pay, if the water district is going to have to pay that much money toward this agreement, let's just start over. And let's just do an entirely new contract that does not have all that language regarding the power plant in, and it doesn't have all the startup language, and it just clean it up and have just a regular old contract. Well, it was going to take a little bit of time. It made them a little bit nervous, I think, waiting. Also, I'd proposed, you know, a shorter term in it. But anyway, with all that being said and everything that happened, we decided, let's just do an amendment to the contract that we have. We have a 20-year contract in place. We're about halfway through it, so we're about 10 years into it. And so what me and the city manager have agreed, and I hope it'll satisfy you guys, and he's pretty sure it'll satisfy the city council. And that's just making an amendment, just a one-page amendment to one paragraph in that existing contract that changes that 50%. And I think that's the simplest, cleanest thing that we can do right now, because it just got real convoluted with their attorneys looking at it, and I just really didn't want to go down that road. So what you've got in front of you is language, is replacement language for this one paragraph in that existing contract. And right in the middle of that, you'll see the line that says, "City agrees to limit the use of its groundwater supply to 50% of its annual usage and purchase the remainder of its water from the district. The city will limit the use of its groundwater supply to the months of April through September." So those two lines are the only thing that we're adding to this existing contract. And it's just going to allow them to use up to 50% of their water with groundwater. And they're going to use that from April through September when it benefits us the most. So we've backed up to the point where that's the only change we're going to make. We're still going to have that the tail end of our 20-year contract, so we still got 10 years on this agreement. And that does a couple, if we do it this way, that does a couple of things. In 10 years, our bonds are going to be paying off. Our outlook, I mean, every, that at that point, you know, we're going to be able to lower our tax rate probably, because we're not going to have that bond, that service payment to make every year. And also in 10 years, I think the value of the plan out there will have stabilized. We're going to know whether we're going to know what's going to happen with the plan. And I think a lot of things will be a little more clear in 10 years from now. And it'll probably be a better time to renegotiate that contract anyway.
That issue of annexation of the
He's coming next month. I've got the city. It's yeah, that issue of annexation is not
part of this.
The city manager, I told the city manager that he could come in and I would put him on the agenda and he could talk to y'all anytime he wanted. And he said, well, the council wants me to come. So we've got him coming in March to talk to y'all. I already told him, I said, it's going to be a tough sell. We don't want to do it. And he said, that's fine. I'll give it my best shot. So he's going to come next month. And
so that doesn't, this was an agreement, the original agreement was kind of a gentleman's agreement between two entities. Now they've got a lawyer involved in it. Is he representing in March?
He just reviewed the contract. When we decided to take it back to a 20-year agreement, one of their council members said, he said 20 years is a long time. Before we sign this, maybe we should just, you know, let a real contract attorney look at it. And it was reasonable. I don't really fault them for taking it to an attorney. And the changes he proposed, they, you know, he had some legitimate concern about it. It was changes that were in favor of the water district, but they were necessary at the time, given that, you know, we really needed a water agreement that gave us a big customer, 100% of a big customer. That was the only way we could start that treatment plant down there, was if we had a big customer that was going to use all the water that it made. Otherwise, if we'd have started out without any customers, we'd have had to run that plant and then just run the surplus water out on the ground. And so, you know, the city really did us a favor coming on 100% with us the day we started that treatment plant up. And that contract was written to our advantage, and it just didn't make any sense anymore that 10 years down the road, that if we were going to redo it, that it still had all that language in it. So it's, but that's what caused us to back up and just do this minor amendment to it, was because there was a lot of changes and it was just unnecessary at the time. But this is, everything else they had proposed is out the window. We're just going to make this minor change and then we'll decide next month on that, on annexing.
So he's going to come and talk to us about just these changes we're making?
No, he's just, these changes, I'm going to ask you to approve this change today.
Okay.
And it's going to the city council. If y'all approve it today, it's going to the city council tonight. So at the end of the day today, this amendment should be done.
So he's coming?
He's coming next month just to talk about the proposal they had to annex the water district. You know, did you ask the question about the annexation, or was that Larry? Whenever they asked the question about the annexation, that was just something they threw out there. They said, in addition to this, we'd like to annex the water district property. And we went back to them and said, let's treat that as a separate issue. So we're treating that completely separately. And I really didn't even want to have him here at the same meeting talking about it, so that we could separate it. So he's coming back next month. All he's going to talk about is the city's request to annex the Wheeler Branch property.
So the main point we approve it is when they take their water that they're required to take April through September,
they have the right to use up to 50% groundwater if they choose to. And we did, it actually works better for us if they do use a little bit of groundwater during those
as
4 months.
Annexation, we're not approving that.
No,
we're just paragraph.
Yeah, the annexation issues, that's, we're putting that off till next month.
I'll make the motion, we authorize the general. You got something else?
Yeah, that number in there, not to exceed 225 million gallons a year, how close have we ever got to that?
Not any.
Not even half?
No. Probably not half. That's the language that was in the original contract, it just stayed in there, but no, we haven't got, I can't, off the top of my head, I can't tell you exactly what it is, but I know we're not getting close to it.
Yeah.
I had a question about this language. It says 50% of its annual usage, yet it's limited to just those months, is that correct? I mean, because 50%, is 50% during those months, or 50% where they could use total groundwater? It sounds to me like.
It's 50% of its annual usage, but during those summer months, we probably.
Everything
just about doubles during those summer months. So 50% of its annual usage is probably about 50% of their water during those summer months.
Okay.
So they use twice as much water in the summer as they do during the remainder of the year.
That water was coming from us, so that, and it'd be bigger the whole year. Is it 50% for the whole year, then they could take a whole lot more water and have a higher percentage during those times than 50.
And that's fine.
Really?
But the net result at the end of the, whenever you look at a whole year, they're still only going to use 50% of the annual. And we just have to limit them during those summer months. We have to let them use it at a rate that causes it to end up at 50% of the annual for the whole.
So they could pump 75% during those 3 months, they possibly
could, if that ends up being, you know, 50% of their annual usage. But when we calculated it out, kind of the way it works is if they run their wells wide open during April through September, it's going to come out to about pretty close to 50% of their annual usage.
And that benefits us, because that's the time we have the trouble with the high trihalite methane.
I understand that, but the whole point to me is getting off groundwater a little bit too, providing community water. So, you know, I realize it's helping us for right now, but long term it may not. Once we get this, you know, organic matter, you know, and that you know, deep, that thing we get in the summer.
THM. Yeah, the THMs. Yeah. It is a little bit contrary to the goal of getting everybody off of groundwater. What we're doing is substituting the rest of the county. I mean, all the subdivisions that are coming in, we're bringing on groundwater, and you know, they're never going on groundwater to begin with. So that water that we're saving at the city level is helping out in the county. But yeah, it is contrary to our goal of getting everybody off groundwater. It's just, you know, they have those wells, and it's nice to have them have those wells as a backup supply in the event that we ever get short out here. And I don't know that they'll use 50%, Karen. We're just giving them the right to use up to that 50%. But
well, that's good that it's only for, you know, we have 10 years left and not 20,
right,
where the TM whatever might have stabilized by then, and we can renegotiate.
At the end of the 10 years, whenever we do redo this contract, I mean, at that point, I would think we would look at the groundwater. We're monitoring groundwater, and those groundwater levels in the city have been steadily increasing. If this causes a reverse of that trend, I mean, we may all feel like we should make a change that, you know, continues that trend of increasing the groundwater there in the city, in the area of the city. But it's really the responsibility. Since we did this contract, the groundwater district went in place, and it's really the groundwater district's responsibility to monitor the groundwater levels more so than our own. Our goal is to provide a surface water option for Somerville County, and it's we took it upon ourselves when we sold this to the city. It was with, you know, the hopes that we would reverse that trend with the lowering groundwater levels, but it puts a little bit of that burden shifts back to the city on managing our groundwater table within the city limits. And all this is, it does, you know, it's, we're not telling them to use 50%. It just gives, them the option to manage, you know, their water resources to the, however they feel.
Okay.
Yes.
With when we started and where we are now, isn't our groundwater usage throughout the county probably level with what we're taking the city completely off? We're probably selling as much water, all the new connections.
Probably so. I would think so. Ben, I hadn't actually done that calculation,
yeah,
but
I mean that just be off.
Yeah. You know, I would say we've probably got water available to maybe 75% of the county, which is pretty dang good. Maybe more. It may be 80% now, but we've got water. We've got surface water available to close to 80% of the county.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And so, I mean, we're way ahead of where we ever thought that we would be at this, you know, 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
Well, the groundwater, because I've turned my water over to the groundwater district for monitoring. My water level's higher than it's ever been in 25 years.
Yeah. This is, you know, this is certainly not going to help that, but I said, well, this letting them pump 50%, you know, up to 50% is certainly not going to, it's not going to help that, but I don't think it's going to reverse that trend.
Down the road, the water district raise their taxes on those wells to where it's not cost effective, they'll come back and buy all of them.
That's exactly right. I think if the city starts using the groundwater to the point that it starts reversing that trend, the groundwater district's going to discourage it.
I second Nemo's motion.
Let me make the motion. Authorize the general manager.
Can we authorize? We're going to sign them today. Can you just authorize Ben to sign it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Authorize the general manager to execute an addendum to the existing City of Glen Rose Water Agreement to revise Section 3.01 and authorize Ben Meet, the president of the Water District Board, to sign it today.
Second.
Then we've got a motion and a second to agree to change the contract with the City of Glen Rose. Any further comment? That all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. I'll sign it.
Thank you.
Did he get his shirt?
Number five.
Number five. Every year we look at the county's holiday schedule, and it stays basically the same, but we ask you guys to adopt the same holiday schedule as the county, with the exception of that week that we've been taken between Christmas and New Year's, and that's been added to this one just like we have the last 2 years, and that's been working out really good, and we really appreciate you guys doing that. It's an awesome benefit to our staff, as long as it's something that we can sustain, and it's such a slow week during that period of time that it's, I don't think we've ever, would we have one call out? I think we had one real minor call out during that week, and one of the guys took care of it. And
I move we adopt the proposed holiday schedule for 2024.
Okay, and I just add into there, we appreciate y'all doing the work you're doing the rest of the year.
Well, Thank you.
Glad to do this. All right, we've got a motion in second to make a change in our 2020 holiday schedule. Motion and a second. Any further comment? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposition. Motion carries.
What day are we going to do fireworks?
It's on the 4th. It's a Saturday. It's going to be huge. I've been dreading it for 4 years now, knowing that a Saturday show was coming, but it's finally here. Yeah, we may need more Lions Club members out here than usual this year.
Mm-hmm. I'd be no problem.
Y'all do a good job.
Well, they need to stay busy. Some of those guys have the operator job.
General manager's report. I'm glad you mentioned about that annexation by the city. But I am gonna have got the city administrator Michael Lemons is coming next month, and we'll hear him out on why they wanted to annex, why they want to annex us, and we'll just see what they've got to say. And I'm gonna say it again. I hope y'all turn him down. Because I don't see any benefit to it either.
Well,
but
I'd say a lot to him.
Would that not give them the opportunity to annex Cedar Rock if we did that?
Well, it would give them the opportunity to, but Cedar Rock would still have to
vote to do it. Even though they connect.
Yes, even though they connect. Until they become a home rule. Till they become home rule, they can't annex anybody involuntarily. And I think home rule is a city of 5,000. Is that correct? I believe it's 5,000.
I believe so. Put it down by the Texas utilities.
Yeah.
Keep them from voting.
That's correct. I mean, we'll use Maurice's street down there as an example. When they annexed Tres Rios, caused them to touch Maurice's subdivision, which is all along the river there, and they're fixing to come after you guys if they haven't yet. They're trying to get they would like that subdivision to annex, but I can't see it happening. Y'all would have to vote to allow them to annex.
Yeah. If you don't join, you can't even vote to do it in a small town. Do you get 5,000?
I think they can ask for it.
Yeah. But
yeah.
I think you haven't joined before they can. Is that not?
No.
I don't know.
No, you can if you touch, and you can petition and do your annex.
That should be voluntary.
Yeah.
It's voluntary. That's what Tres Rios did.
Before they can.
Just to get sewer.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And if you don't touch them, I don't think that you can join.
Right. If they're not touching,
you can't even request it.
Yeah.
You made him aware we have no intention of being out.
Yes, I have.
He's still coming out here to.
Yeah,
he's being directed to do
this. He's been directed by the council to do it, and. I told him that I was going to recommend against it, and that it was going to be a hard sell, and he's still going to come.
Okay,
we'll be nice to him.
All right, y'all just be nice to him. Water line extension update. We're out on uh, 409. Yeah, I thought that said under construction. But anyway, we're out on County Road 409. That is out in a little short road out in Nemo that, what's that man's name that lives at the end of it? Gene
Bass.
Gene Bass. That's Gene Bass's road. If you know where Gene lives, little short road. Developer came in, bought a piece of property. He's putting in six lots out there. He gave us $30,000 to come out there and run that line. So basically, it's very similar to the one we did over here on 144. Developers paying for the water line within the subdivision, so it made it an easy choice of where we were going to go next. So we're doing that. We were headed back out to Highway 67 West We're going to extend our Highway 67 road a little bit further out there to the trailer park Judge Chambers has. Right when we're getting ready to do it, we've already been permitted by TxDOT, but right when we get ready to do it, they started widening that highway out there. So we may hold off on it and jump to this next extension on County Road 2010. County Road 2010 is the next county road past 2008. It goes to the backside, or the west side of Fossil Rim back there. Fossil Rim has got...
That's 2009, yeah.
No, 2010 is right past Cedar Ridge, and you cut off to go to the lodge. Cedar, whatever that trailer park is, Cedar, may not be Cedar Ridge.
Is it 2009?
2010.
It's 2010, yeah.
2010, it goes and hits 203, and then...
That's correct. 2010 comes off 67, it swings around and hits 203, FM 203.
Right past, yeah. It's
Yes, hey, that's good. Yes, we already got water up there quite a ways.
Yeah, we did. We went about a mile down that road till we got to Ice Creek. We stopped at Ice Creek because it was going to have to be bored. But now the Fossil Rim has got a facility. I think they call it the Wildlife Park. Are you familiar with it? They've got something.
They've got a.
It used to be the lodge back over.
Maybe it's
there.
The lodge. They've requested water at the lodge back there. And so we're going to do another extension to make it at least to the lodge.
That's
past the Outlook.
The lodge is on the west side.
It's on the west side. It's
it really is right off at 2010.
You know, I didn't even know that was there.
Mansell's house.
They just remodeled it or something.
They just done something with it, but
there's a sign on the highway now that says Fossil Rim overnight or something.
Yeah.
That's where their accommodations.
Yeah.
When we finish 409 over here, that's we're either headed to Highway 67 or 2010. We're going to go hit one of them over there. So that's where we're headed next.
Question, Kevin, on that park road, we go all the way to that new RV park.
Yes.
Is that a 6-inch line?
We took a 6-inch line all the way to that new RV park. We sold them a 2-inch commercial meter there at that RV park.
We don't have any customers on that line, do we?
We got that
past
RV
sunset?
Park.
Past sunset?
Not a whole lot of customers. I mean, we've got
not a lot of customers. The intention was to put that 6-inch in case the state park ever wanted to run for water from the state park. That was the intention to put the 6-inch line to that location.
So we're going to do a lot of flushing down there.
Well, they do have that 2-inch commercial meter there at the end of that line for the RV park right now.
The state park has, ever since we run that line, they've been threatening to get on. Every year I think they request it in their budget, but the state, the legislature has to approve their budget, and they've not been approved to tie into us yet. But one of these days they'll tie into us. Now we did do an extension here just within the last few months. That took us over that next hill on across McFall's place down to down to the new new
evidence
that the dinosaur track facility. They rented the McFall's place down there, and they've got an attraction down at that next set of dinosaur tracks right on the river there next to Flat Rock. Is that what it's called, Flat Rock? Yeah. So we did run an extension down to them. And so
Flat Rock is the end of it, going on 205.
That's the very end of the line now. We stopped right there at that road that goes to Flat Rock.
You know what, the RV park found dinosaur tracks. In that piece there, that they're improving, what I can say, whatever they're doing.
Developing?
Yeah, you know, they've got 20 spots and already got 20 more ready to put in there. They've already built they're building a clubhouse, and they're not going to take full time. I was out there.
Huh.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. So that, and they're building it kayaks because they go to the river, and they're renting kayaks and stuff. So trying to really build a park there instead of...
Is the county doing that?
No.
Fire Marshal, Mark.
Mark Crawford.
Mark Crawford's doing it.
Yeah.
On his own.
Tell you what, he owed a lot of land there.
Yeah. Well, we've got your, we got the bank account report. After that, this shows where all of our money's at. You know, I've never really put a percentage to a number to our, how much, what our reserve was, but the 8-to-1, it sure sounds good. It was interesting to hear that auditor apply that to it. After that, water usage report, sold $40,000 worth of water last month, 14 million gallons. And then our park report, not doing a lot at the park, but I expect this year to be just like the last few years. We'll have an increase in revenue over what we did last year, I'm sure.
Are we making any progress over the bridge?
No, not yet.
All right, that's fine.
I'm gonna start making John answer that question.
But we don't think it'll be this year.
No, I think, well, I, you know what I did, I have found a guy that that will put the abutments in for us. So I do have a contractor that's willing to build the abutments, and that's kind of been what I've been waiting on.
I make a motion to adjourn.
We got a motion to adjourn. Do we have a second?
A second.
Maybe you stand up to you that voted yes. If you made seated,
they locked the door. Hey, turn it off.